Amen. That goes along well with our topic this morning here. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Looking at the subject of God's love. Amen. Safe in the arms of Jesus. John chapter 3. And shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house today. And we thank you for these songs, how they stir our hearts and prepare our hearts for your word. And we pray for those that are not feeling well today and those that are traveling, that you keep them safe. Pray that the Holy Spirit now would minister to each of our hearts. You know the need of each of our hearts, and I pray you'd meet that need today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 3 and verse 12. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so what? Loved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. What is so different about God's love than the love of all around us? Well, there are many things. God's love is enduring. When people say, I love you, or I love this or that, that might not endure. You may say, I love pizza. But on any given occasion, you may eat so much pizza that you can't hardly stomach it the rest of your life. I've heard of people that eat, really like a certain food, and they eat so much of it on one occasion that after that, they just don't seem to care for it anymore. So whatever our love is for things on this earth, it may not endure. It might not, but God's love endures. We're going to begin to look at a few things here about God's love this morning, Lord willing. Number one, if you're taking notes, God's love is different from man's love because it is not based upon number or popularity. So God, I know this is a long sentence here. God's love is different from man's love because it is not based upon our number or popularity. Look at with me, if you would, please, in Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 7. You know, all around us, people want the best of this, the best of that, and that's how they choose. But God doesn't choose on that basis. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 7. Deuteronomy 7, verse 7. The Bible says the Lord did not set his what? His love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in what? Number than any people, for ye were the what? Fewest of all people. So Deuteronomy 7, 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. And we're talking about here the Jews and God's people. God did not choose the Jews because they were a great number. God chose Abraham. He was just one man, we're going to see. And it's the same way today. God doesn't choose his people because they're the biggest and the greatest. He's always loved the individual. That love is different than people. Our statement again, God's love is different from man's love because it is not based upon number or popularity. That is totally different from man's love. Totally different. On earth, people love the famous. They don't love the unknown. They love the known. People are attracted to other people who can draw huge crowds. They're attracted to those type of people. It's so much different than God's love. How many of you have a fan club? I'm not talking about those fans. I mean a people fan club. Do any of you have a fan club in your name? I mean, do any of you every day get letters from admirers, how they just love you? Do any of you get letters from people constantly asking for an autographed picture of you? Do any of you in the stores, do they have these big posters for sale of you signed and they sell them like hotcakes? No one's raising their hand. What's wrong here? Now, Lord willing, tomorrow we'd like to be in the parade at Belding and get out God's word. We'd like to sing and give out God's word. And afterwards, Lord willing, we'll come back here and fellowship together. And maybe some of the guys will play football. Maybe some of the guys will play volleyball. Now, how many of you, after being in a parade and sweating, of course, I don't know, maybe if it's cool like this morning, maybe you won't sweat too much. But how many of you would, after you work hard and play hard, how many of you could sell your shirt or your blouse on eBay for hundreds or thousands of dollars? Well, you know what? The famous seem to be able to do that. I mean, they can play football or hockey or whatever it is, and I mean, they can sweat and, you know, I would just think the good thing for their jersey would be throw it in the washing machine. But oh, no. Some people want a signed, autographed jersey, shirt, whatever you want to call it. And I mean, they'll probably never wash. I mean, they could put it on eBay saying, this is the original sweat from so-and-so, you know, embedded in the shirt. I don't know as any of us could sell our shirts, you know. I don't think anyone would want it. But that's the difference between God's love and the world's love. The world loves the rich and the famous. They're attracted to them. They're attracted to people that can draw the crowds. But that is not the basis of God's love for us. He said here in verse 7, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were what? More in number than any people, for ye were the what? Fewest of all people. Notice with me in Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah 51. God is not attracted to the rich and the famous. God is not attracted to God. does not only show his love to those who can draw thousands around them and become famous, God's love is drawn to the individual. Isaiah 51, verse 1. Hearken to me, ye that follow after what? Righteousness. Ye that what? Seek the Lord. Look unto the rock when ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit when ye are digged. Look unto who? Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him what? Alone. I called him alone, and blessed him and increased him. It goes back to Deuteronomy 7, 7. He didn't choose Abraham because he was more in number. No, he was just one. God says, I called him alone. I called him alone. I heard a financial guy on the radio, I think it was this last week, and I don't know which financial guy it was, but he was talking. Some guy called in and asked and said, well, I have this certain amount of money that I'd like to invest in, you know, I suppose it was for retirement purposes. And he had it in a certain mutual fund or something. He had it in. And the financial guy was saying, well, he says, you know, whatever. But he says, that group doesn't have the track record this other one has. And he says, when you're investing your money, he says, you need to look back at least to a 10-year track record before you invest your money. Okay, well, what about if everyone had that stipulation, what about the little business? What about the beginner business? How does a business like that gain capital? Investors. Those of you who have looked for a job in recent years know what is so often the case. It says, help wanted, such and such, such and such, and gets down to the bottom, and then it says, experience necessary. And sometimes it'll say 3 years experience necessary, or maybe more. What are you going to do then? Well, if you already have experience, it doesn't worry you. But what about the beginner? What if God only looked down from heaven upon people and said, well, you have this many years experience, so I want you? No. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. God cares about the individual. God called Abraham alone. Abraham didn't have descendants as the sand of the sea at this time. He was one man alone. And God blessed him. And it's the same today. God is not just attracted to the crowd. God is attracted to the individual who has a need and knows it. Notice in Genesis chapter 12, the Jewish people started with Abraham. The Jewish nation started with Abraham. As we'll read here, God said, I will make of thee a great nation. So who was the first Jew? It was Abraham. Genesis 12. And verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great what? Nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So God would make a nation out of him, a great nation. Verse 2, he said it, I will make of thee a great nation. He, as I said, he would make his descendants as the sand of the sea. Actually, if you want to hold your place here and turn to chapter 22, Genesis 22, you'll see that promise of the amount. Genesis 22 and verse 15. Genesis 22, 15. An angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, we're in Genesis 22, 17, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the what? Stars of heaven. How many stars are there? You know, they have a telescope out there in space called Hubble Telescope. And it just sees stars and stars, billions and billions and billions of stars. The more clear their picture is, just the more stars they can see beyond what they could see before. Just innumerable. So God told Abraham, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. If you could just take one scoop, one cup your hand of sand from the beach and pour it out in a container, how long do you think it would take you to count just one handful? It'd take a long time, a long time. God told Abraham, I'll make your seed as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So, and back in Genesis 12, God promised to make a nation of him. And today there are Jews spread across this whole world. There are thousands of Jews in America. Maybe there's millions of Jews in America. Brother Jeremy and Julie were down in Mexico. In Mexico City, there's a big bunch of Jews. All over the world in different countries. In Russia, there have been many Jews, and many of those have come out of Russia too, back to Israel, but they're all over the world. God's promise has been fulfilled. So God didn't look down to an up-and-coming nation that was blooming and young and full of energy and saying, oh, wow, what potential there. I think I'll bless them. They're already on the way. You know, many times in sporting events, you know, they kind of, what do they call that? Momentum. You know, they might make a touchdown or a goal or a basket or whatever it is, whatever the sport. And so, you know, they make some points and they get excited. And so they say that the momentum is with them, you know, and they say it's hard for the other team to stop them. Well, that's not God's love. He didn't look down to this nation called the Jews already, you know, on a roll, already winning. No, he looked down to one man, and said, I will bless him. I will bless him, and I will make him as the sand of the sea. I'll make a great nation. And then in Genesis 12, 2, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. I will bless thee. And God fulfilled that promise. And look in chapter 13, just a page over there, too. Genesis 13, God did bless Abraham. Genesis 13, 1, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was what? Very rich in cattle and silver and gold. Now, he wasn't that way at first. The Bible doesn't say he was that way at first. God prospered him and made him. God didn't look down from heaven looking for a Bill Gates or was it Warren Buffing or Buffington? Buffing? Okay. God didn't look down from heaven saying, ooh, there's a rich guy. I think I'll be his friend. You know, I think I could use him. No. He looked down to this man. Alone, I called him alone. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. And then back in chapter 12, there in verse 2, first of all, I'll make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name what? Great. God would make him famous. God wasn't looking for a famous person that he could ride on their coattails. God says, I will make you great. I'll make your name great. And to this day, more than one people in the world refer back to Abraham. The Jews refer back to Abraham through Isaac. Even the Muslims refer back to Abraham through Ishmael. Okay, now don't be confused. The way of salvation is through Isaac. Jesus Christ came through the line of Isaac. Islam follows their line through Ishmael. It's through the line of Ishmael comes Muhammad, but Muhammad is not the Savior. So As Brother Jim pointed out earlier in the song service, in John 14:6, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, he said. So, but interestingly, both of these people, many in the world, they both claim back to Abraham. They both. And in the New Testament, the Jews were doing that. Notice in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. But you know what? God called him alone. God didn't say, hey, how can I reach the people of the world? Why? Here's two different strains, both claiming Abraham. So I need to get with them. No, God is the one who blessed Abraham. In John chapter 8, in verse 31, John 8, verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. John 8, 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then answered they, we be what? Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the what? Servant of sin. These people were saying, hey, we've never been in bondage to anyone. We are Abraham's descendants. So way in the New Testament, they're claiming a name. And what is that famous name? It's Abraham. Abraham. And God chose him alone. It was God that made him. It was God that made his name great. Now Jesus goes on here talking to them, verse 37, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. Now think about how many hundreds of years later this is. Now, you dads, think about this. Imagine the Lord tarries is coming. And you moms, think about this. Imagine the Lord tarries is coming, and hundreds of years later, someone asks your great, 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 great grandson, granddaughter, and asking them about their spiritual standing. Could you imagine them mentioning your name? I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later, mentioning your name. Why, yes, I'm a Christian. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, just like Grandpa so-and-so, just like Grandma so-and-so. Can you imagine our names enduring that long? No. But Abraham's did. Who is your father? Abraham. Abraham is our father. Who made his name so great? It was God. But God didn't come to him because Abraham's name was so great. It was God who made his name great. God loves the individual. The unknown, God loves him. Notice with me in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. But the Lord had to teach them, you know what? It's not your ancestors that get you to heaven. It's not tradition. It's not family tradition. But it's Jesus Christ and his shed blood, his perfect blood. 1 Peter chapter 1. I wish I could make that decision for every one of my grandchildren, someday great-grandchildren, if the Lord tarries, or great-great, whatever. I pray for our children and grandchildren. I pray, Lord, help them to get saved and help them to be taught of you in truth all of their days. And then I go down through a list, Lord, I pray that none of them would ever be drunkards or this or that. And I pray, Lord, call out from amongst them those who would preach the gospel. That's my prayer. But as much as I pray, I can't make that decision for them. And as much as you pray for your loved ones, you can't make that decision for them. We wish we could sometimes, but we can't. 1 Peter 1:18. And if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, forasmuch as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the what? Precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We can't be redeemed through the family money, whether it's great or nothing. We can't be redeemed through family tradition, but only with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so that's the message we put out. So God showed his love to this one man, not because he was great. He was unknown. He was one man, one man. God showed his love to another man. Notice with me in Genesis 6, Genesis chapter 6. God showed his love to a man when the earth was terribly corrupt. God didn't say, well, we've got to get a big crowd together because everything's so bad. We've got to hang together. You know, if we don't hang together, we'll hang separately, as they've said in history. Well, that's not the way God looked at it. God set his love on one man. Notice in Genesis 6 what was taking place. Genesis 6 and verse 1. It came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. So they were a lot like Solomon. Solomon had 1,000. 1,000. 1,000 wives. But that's not what God was looking for here, a man who did. God didn't look down from heaven and say, huh, things are really bad. I need to find a leader. I need to find a leader down there. I need to find a man who can gain a crowd. I need to find a man who is popular. Well, there's a man. He's popular. He has 500 wives. Wow, he's really popular. Maybe I can use him. No. In such an hour, verse 8, Noah found what? Grace in the eyes of the Lord. And as we're going to see down through here, it only mentions he had one wife. We don't know her name, but he had one wife and three sons. And three daughters-in-law joined the family. But so God didn't look down from heaven looking for the most popular man. I don't know about you in school. Were you voted most popular in your class? Were you voted most likely to succeed? Were you voted to be most likely to succeed in business? That's not what God was looking for. And notice also in verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were what? Giants in the earth in those days. Giants. God didn't look down from heaven and say, I need to find a popular man because I got to get these people back to me. They're filled with wickedness. Verse 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That sounds like a definition right from Hollywood, doesn't it? It does. So God didn't look down from heaven. He didn't go to Hollywood to find a man. He didn't even go on the sports field. Notice that in verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days. Some of these football players today are giants. They're almost 7 feet, weigh about 300 pounds almost. Some of these basketball players are giants, tall, huge. You know, we ought to think about some of these little ones like Charity or Titus. I mean, you stop and think about as they walk among us and they're looking way up there. Now, what if some people came by that were that much bigger than us? So we had to look that high. Wow. Well, that's what they look at all the time. I mean, they're looking way up at all these people. So God's looking down from heaven. He's saying the earth is a mess. I've got to do something. Why, who better to use than a giant? Verse 4. Maybe I should pick one of those giants. There's a leader of it. There's someone who can either lead people back to me or scare them back to me. One or the other. But God didn't choose a giant, did he? He chose Noah, verse 8. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He didn't choose the most popular. He didn't choose the man with the most wives. He didn't choose the biggest man. He looked for a faithful man. Verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a what? A just man. And what? Perfect in his generations. And Noah what? Walked with God. I have a feeling God didn't look at Washington, D.C., did he? Or maybe even Lansing, Michigan, for this kind of a man. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Verse 10, and Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked upon the earth and beheld it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an what? Ark. He didn't choose the most popular. I mean, this was a big ship. It was 450 feet long, a football field and a half long. It was 75 feet wide. And it was 45 feet high. A huge ship. God didn't pick the giants to build it. God didn't pick the most popular to build it. He picked this man who was walking with God. And this morning, I don't know the needs in your heart. But I know one thing God does. And it doesn't matter whether you are popular or unpopular. It doesn't matter if you're known or unknown. I can tell you from God's word today that God loves you and that Jesus died on that cross for your sin and mine. And he longs to save the individual. And he longs to bless the individual, the humble. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, if there are any here this morning who have not yet turned from their sin to you, I pray this morning they would do so, that they would not spurn your love. Lord, we thank you for your great love, that you would be willing to send your son to die for us. We are so unworthy of that great love. So, Father, I pray if there are any here this morning who are not saved, that they would come in just a few moments when we give this invitation and would come and say, I want to ask Jesus to save me today. I pray you'd help us as Christians. Lord, we know in these days the struggles are getting very great. The trials are getting very severe. And it would be so easy to get discouraged and give up. And I pray, Lord, that you would encourage those hearts. Help them to realize this morning that you love the individual. That you don't just love us because of earthly success. You love us with a pure love. You care for our soul. You don't have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. So, Lord, encourage each heart today, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's serve.